Hi, I'm Chris and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm sober that physically and spiritually. I have my moments with emotional. And I am. And part of that is having had the joy and the opportunity to make amends. And it's not something I've got to get myself in perspective here. I've been doing, rushing around, so I'm still rushing around in my head. And that's what happens. My head runs. And because I have a very active mind, and I was a very active alcoholic when I was drinking. And I enjoy being a very active alcoholic now that I'm sober. I'm sure that when I was born, I didn't expect to hurt the people that came into my life. I didn't expect to do the harm that I did as I progressed through life. I was just a human being, It's just a normal kid. Things happened and I felt unsure about it and uneasy, and I was just a normal human kid. And then I found alcohol about 15, and my attitude at that time was pretty ordinary. I wanted to do things that I wanted to do, and people would say to me, "Oh, maybe you shouldn't do that," and I would think, "No, I need to do that." And I found when I had alcohol in me, I could do it without any thoughts, regardless of consequences. And I found that exciting. There was things that I felt that I was boring. I couldn't feel comfortable around people. Those are all human experiences. Other people feel that way. Lots of people feel that way. But for me, when I picked up a drink, I felt different. And I felt more comfortable, and all my inhibitions went, and other people do that too. Other people have that experience as well. But then mine progressed, and I found I got to the point where I needed to drink, and I felt more and more comfortable drinking, and it was more and more normal for me to drink. And then I got to the point where, other people started coming into my life. I met my husband in the middle of the road waiting for the coppers to come along to drag him off to jail. And I thought, "Oh, you'd be a nice one to take home." And I took him home, And we spent 13 years just bashing and crashing and dragging up. I had 3 kids in 3 years moved often and ended up in a small town in Witchyproof in north central Victoria, and ended up on a farm and with the mice and the cockroaches and the white ants, and poor me, had no money. He'd been in a car accident, so he was on the invalid pension, and you'd have a bit of rain out there and you'd slide all over the place. You couldn't drive a car, you'd have to walk from the... Poor me, geez. There was just so much that was wrong about my life. If only I had this, if only I had a better husband, if only I had better kids, if only I had a better house, if only I had this. And because of that's how I felt, and I drank more and I made more bad decisions, and then I was hurting, so I'd have to hurt others. There was times in my drinking where I'd walk out at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, "Well, my kids are asleep. I might as well be down the pub talking to someone than be sitting there waiting for me to pass out, because even if they woke up, I wouldn't hear them anyway. So, I might as well be somewhere where I'm useful." And that was my thinking. And that's just one little bit. There have been many occasions where my actions just didn't weren't acceptable. You know, my husband was no good, so I'd go out and find an affair, you know, where I needed to be loved. You know, and they were sad and sick relationships. You know, I couldn't be a good daughter. I couldn't be the person I wanted to be to my parents. I ran away. Yeah, I moved 100 miles away, so I didn't need to be around them. You know, I didn't have trust in myself to care for my kids. You know, they were always spick and span. People would say to me, gee, they look good. You know, they didn't know what went on in the four walls. You know, there was a lot of screaming and crashing, and the kids would come running up and say, can't you stop doing that? They'd say, piss off, you don't know what it's like. And they're the things, and that's the attitude that I had. And I hurt a lot of people. You know? And they're the ones I know about. And they're the ones that stick here and hurt here and keep me sick. Because by that time, I can't stop drinking. Because when I stopped drinking, all those things would keep coming back to me. You know, all that guilt and that shame and that pain. And I couldn't stay stopped. Not that way. Couldn't happen. And so it got to the point where, you know, I wanted to stop. I was pretty sick and sorry. He'd left. Thank God for that. You know? And then I found I was in a position where I didn't have to be accountable to anyone. And so I was going to be this mother with four kids and go out and scrub floors and put them through university and be this wonderful parent. I lasted a month. You know, you can't continue to work, which I was still working, you know, madly 14, 16 hours a day, and raise four children and drink until 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't work. Can't maintain that. And, you know, my daughter rang up, my 13-year-old daughter rang up one day and she said, oh, you know, I burnt Nicole with the noodles. They were feeding the noodles. And I thought to myself, why did you do that for? You're 13. Haven't you got more responsibility than that? Don't you know you can't do that? You know, it was all about everyone else. I was younger than what my kids were, you know, as far as being a grown-up was concerned. They were doing all the responsibility. You know, my kids knew how to do stuff before I knew how to do it. They looked after themselves. And because I was just couldn't do it. I was just irresponsible. It's just fine, you know. That's why I needed to do things the way I needed to do it. It was always in, you know, in anger or resentment or pain. And then I got this program. And by that time, my youngest two children were living with their father, and my two oldest daughters were living with me. And it was pretty ordinary. And I came into AA, and after one of my daughters said, I can't live with you anymore, I'm going to leave. And she left, and the next week, I rang her up and I said, oh, I've gone to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, I knew you could do it. Yeah, I knew you could do it. Because they knew the struggle. They knew the battle that happens. Because they were living it. Yeah. And the people I hurt the most were the people that were closest to me. The people that were, you know, lived this day after day after day. And they suffered the consequences of my drinking. You know, there was lots of people I owed money to, you know. In a bush town, you have a lot of credit. You have a lot of credit, yeah. You know, I owed lots of money to the petrol station there, lots of money to the pubs, and I got up and left. You know, moved to Bendigo. And I thought, oh, well, I don't need to worry too much about that. I won't go back there again. And, I mean, this is thousands of dollars. This is just not 20 bucks. You know, you don't do things by halves. And But I said, that's all right, I'm not going to go back there. And then I got sober and I got really anxious about all this. And the first 3 months of being sober, I was joyful about getting sober. Yeah, I wanted to be sober. I came to meetings. I did 30. I did 90. And then I got to, the practical steps that we talked about before, the 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And something changed. There was this change that had happened, you know. There was this softness that came, and the fear was subsiding. The fear was going away. And that's what I needed. That's what I'd got from, you know, talking to people that were in meetings and seeing the powers of examples. You know, lots of people were still having problems in their lives, but they were getting on with it. You know. And then I got to step 9, and my daughter had come back from Queensland. And she walked in and she said, oh, it's like looking at a new person. They were encouraging words. And they'd gone through hell with me. Now, this is not something that I would do because I wanted to do it. This is something that I did because I needed to do it. I'm not a very virtuous person. I'm a very selfish, self-centered, self-seeking person. And there's lots of evidence of that in my past. You know, I tried to change and I continue to change today. Yeah, and I need to. This is what, you know, sobriety gives me, is this ability to be able to, you know, hear things and say, oh, I like that. Or see things differently. Or something happens and I can get the courage to do it. And so step 9, even though it took there was so much fear involved in it, because I'd see people and I'd walk across the road so I wouldn't talk to them. I didn't want to live life like that anymore. Sobriety gave me the power to stay sober. It also gave me the power to change. And so I had that evidence there. So when myself and my daughters sat around the table and I made amends to them, and this is early sobriety, this is 7 months sober. There was an urgency in my recovery. I wanted to get well, but I needed to get well, and I was sick enough to want to get well. And so I took guidance and I took direction. And we sat around the table and we sort of sat there for about an hour and a half, I suppose, and I talked and they listened and I said, okay, Mum, that's all right. Yeah, we're listening. And the next day, when I got home from work, they'd been out on the town and they're on the rehypnol and the alcohol. And they walked in and abused the shit out of me for 20 minutes. This is all your fault. Look what you've done to us. And through guidance about talking to people who had gone through similar experiences in making amends, I could, you know, just take it. I could take it without thinking, you know, the opposite and thinking, oh, how dare you do that to me? You know, look what I'm trying to do. I'm making amends. Da 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 da. I know, wonderful. You know, I'm doing this because I'm trying to save my life and trying to make a difference. And so then, you know, and I had to make amends to my ex-husband too, because I'd had done him a lot of wrong. But I didn't want to hurt him anymore either. You know, I didn't go running to him and say, oh, I've had these affairs, because that would have hurt him more. I didn't have to be, you know, it wasn't up to me to make my conscience clear by hurting somebody else. You know, and I knew that would be true. And so I had to get there and I had to make amends for the things that I'd done wrong without hurting him more. And that was hard because I wanted to clear all this shit out, you know. But then I had to ask God for help and direction and forgiveness. You know, a God of my understanding is where I need to ask for forgiveness. But then I need to verbalise it with other people. I need to go out and, you know, pay my debts off, which I did. each month I sent money to each improve. A little bit here and a little bit there, and I sent it up there. Today I can walk down that town with my head held high without owing money, and people say, "G'day, how you going?" And I can walk down the street and people say, "G'day, how you going?" I'm not walking across the road anymore. I'm not in fear of anyone on this earth anymore. You know, I'd like to say that my ex-husband and myself have a wonderful relationship today because we don't speak anymore. You know, it took 7 years for me to say, you know, I'm not making any headway here. You know, it's not helping him and it's not helping me. All I'm doing is perpetuating the problem. And so we don't speak anymore. And I pray for him. And I'm sure he has good thoughts for me occasionally too. You know, if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. it's been a great journey. It's been a wonderful journey. And, you know, not long after I made my amends to the girls, that I, you know, we sat down again, we talked, and I had this boyfriend in the fellowship, and we decided, oh, I talked to them, and they said, "Well, why don't you move to Melbourne, Mum? You know, go to Melbourne. We're fine here. You help us with the rent and things like that, and we'll be fine." I thought, God, you know, they're 16 and 17 sort of thing. But then I realised these kids have been looking after themselves for 16, 17 years. You know, they know how to clean and shop and care for things. And so I moved to Melbourne, and what happened then was the action. You know, I didn't just say I was sorry. I actually started doing things. You know, I was there for them when they rang up. You know, I was able to make good decisions and have that relationship with my girls that I hadn't had before. I had good relationships with my other kids as well because I was making better decisions and doing the right thing. You know, I was doing the right thing. And our relationship got better. And I was becoming a mother. You know. And I was becoming a good daughter too. All these things happened because I was making amends. I was free today to be able to do the things that I need to do. And so many things happened. The 12 promises happened. And then, you know, my Melissa said to me, "Oh, look, you know, you're so far away now and you've changed so much." And I said, "That's all right, love. We've got plenty of time." We've got plenty. Shit, sorry. They died 7 months later in a car accident. We don't have plenty of time. No? We don't have the time that... Time passes, guys, that's all it does. Time passes. And you need to get out there and have the courage to get this stuff. This is why we do this today. This is why we do... You know, if we can't change one thing, we go out and find another way to do it. We don't need approval to do this. We do this because we need to. We have this collective consciousness in AA that says you can have the courage to do anything that you want to do. And I got through those times, you know. I got through the time when... And I was able to bury my kids with dignity and grace. And that's because of this program. I have no guilt, you know, because I realised today that those things that I did, I don't do anymore. Right? We have the power to be strong and spiritual and go out there and change the world. We bloody did it before. When we change things, when we drink, we change lots of people's lives. When we're sober, we can still change lots of people's lives. And that's what we can do. We can make a difference. And this program gives me the ability to do that. I was going to read the 12 promises, but I don't think I can hold the book. Because I don't learn this out of a book. I learn it through experience. I learn it through the powers of examples that are around me, and I learn it through action. If you're not doing it, you never know how you're going to. You're never going to learn how. You've got to keep doing it. And, I have three lovely step-grandchildren today. I have a son, 24. I have a daughter, 17, who's still running around the place. But she's growing up too. There's so many things that have happened, but the biggest decisions I ever made were in my first year of recovery. Biggest decisions I ever made were then. Because my second crisis came early. And if I didn't have this in place, you know, I would have affected a lot of people a lot differently. So we keep coming back. And we'll keep doing this stuff. We'll keep making changes. And we keep... I'm a human being having a spiritual... I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm human. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. But today I have a spiritual program that guides me through a day at a time. And we have power today to do that. Don't ever doubt it. Thank you.